Everybody said amen. Regardless of how weak we are spiritually, as a corporate people, as individuals, every one of us have a right to encounter the presence of God, regardless of where we are at. At any moment, we can make the decision to go deeper with God by just yielding and following His direction. That's up to us. I believe this morning the Lord is going to release some insights, positive trends that we could live out and act out that will actually act like a magnet to draw God's presence to our homes, to our lives, and to our individual beings, and also to avoid certain negative trends, negative actions that actually do not help from drawing the presence of God. On the contrary, they repel the presence of God. I want to go over things that will draw the presence of God. What are they? But also, let's look at the life of David and see the things that actually hinder God's presence from coming upon our lives. Look at your notes there. Point number one. David was anointed by God's presence. Now, we're first introduced. I mean, there's an earlier reference to David, you know, even before he's born in Scripture. But we are first really introduced to his life in 1 Samuel chapter 15. And as you read the life of David, there's something about David that especially 1 Samuel begins to really reveal to us, especially in chapter 16. It reveals to us something about David's life that we have an insight, and we have almost like a peek, that a revelation that even as a young man, David was passionate about the presence of the Lord. As a young boy, teenager, maybe 12, 13 years old, there was something happened to David, whether he had an encounter at a young, tender age. I mean, we have several little children that have had visions and dreams, encounters with the Lord. I mean, just the other day, one of Edwin and Heather's boys, they in the prayer room, they were saying, "I see an angel. There's an angel right above me. He's right. There's an angel right now." And Heather was, "Where's the angel?" He goes, "There's an angel right here." I mean, it just, children have insights and revelations. There was something that happened to David that even as a young man, he something impacted him that made him into a seeker of the presence of the Lord. Amen. We see how the presence, how important God's presence was in his life. If you go to the Psalm chapter 16, let's begin there in Psalm 16. We see clearly that the presence of God was very important in the life of David. And as we go over some of these references, we're going to see some insights, or God may speak to you on specific keys that will help you draw the presence of the Lord in your life. But Psalm 16, look at verse number 8. Look what David says. "I have always set the Lord before me because he's at my right hand." He says, "I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest." Do you see how the presence of the Lord brings rest? Amen. There's no striving in God's presence. Amen. And then he says in verse number 10, "For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption." Now look at verse 11. "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures evermore." Is it any wonder that David had an addiction problem? If I can say it that way. I mean, look at that verse. He says, "In your presence is fullness." Think about what that means. Word fullness means to be so filled up. You're overflowing. You're always overflowing. It's like taking a glass and putting it under a strong, running, powerful faucet. What happens to that glass? It not only gets filled, but guess what? That glass can't contain anymore. And you see the water. You see the pressure of the water being forced to the bottom of that glass and creating pressure, pushing the water that's in the glass upwards and causing it to overflow. That's what it means to be full of the presence of the Lord. He says this, "In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hands are pleasures." He was addicted to the pleasure of God. We need to be addicted. See, if we're not addicted to the presence of God, other addictions open up in our lives. When someone's addicted to something else, whether it's TV, whether it's pornography, whether it's alcohol, whether it's drugs, or whatever it is, if we're addicted to something else, it could be a relationship. It's because we're lacking the fullness of joy that only the presence of God can give to us. Because when we're really filled, we have joy. No matter what comes our way, we have joy. We have peace. David found fullness of joy in his presence. Number two, David accepted God's wills for his life because of the presence of the Lord. Look at Psalm 31 and verse 20. Psalm 31 verse 20. David says, he sought always to be filled in the presence of the Lord. He wanted his life to be hid in God's presence from the plots of the enemy. You shall hide me. You shall hide your servants in the secret place of your presence. From the plots of man, you shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Hallelujah. The presence of God keeps us safe from the plots of wicked men. I am telling you, when we get to glory and we get to see a rerun of our lives, we're going to see all the evil plans that the enemy had for us. But we'll see how the angels broke in at the last moment, or how the presence of the Lord broke in at the right moment. We don't see it sometimes, but I am telling you, it's the presence of the Lord that protects us from the plots of wicked men. That's why when you become a pursuer of the presence of the Lord, you are almost guaranteeing yourself from the plots of the enemy. But when our lives are in rebellion and our lives are full of immorality, what happens is this, is that we actually are defenseless. We are presence-less. But when we are continuously pursuing the presence of God, there are blessings that come upon us. Part of that is security and safety. But when we give to a life of carnality and we give ourselves to our own will, we actually, it's not like God says, you know, I'm going to be mean to you. I'm going to take my presence away from you. No, we actually step away. We choose to step outside of the pavilion of his presence. That's our choice. Jump down to point number 6. This is so important. David came before God's presence with thanksgiving. Psalm 95 and verse 2, the scripture says this, come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise to him with the psalms. Oh, look at that. Make a joyful noise with psalms. You know what the word shout means? It is a Hebrew word, ruah. And that word means to mar. It actually also means this. It means to split the ears. David is saying this. Come before his presence with such a joyful shout, it splits the ears of the enemy. Are you hearing me? Make it loud. That's why on Sunday morning, church. I mean, I can't for the life of me understand this kind of praise. When the Bible is clear, make a joyful noise. Make a joyful shout to the Lord. That word noise means to mar. That means to make a mark. Mar, strike something. It means to split the ears. And it means this. It means to sound an alarm suddenly. I mean, I'll tell you one thing. If you got a fire in your house and you got a house packed full of children, you're not going to say, fire. There's a fire in the house. Everybody get out. There's a fire in the house. That's not an alarm of shout. You're going to say, there's a fire in the house. Get out. I got news for you. There's a fire in the house. Shout for joy. Miss it. You see, we've got to understand, you can cannot seek the presence of God carnally. With the human mind. The human mind says, I'm going to look like a fool shouting. The flesh says, you know what? That's not me. That's uncomfortable. You see, the spirit contradicts the flesh. If you want the presence of God, we can't do it our way. We have to come God's way. Make a joyful noise in the house of the Lord this morning. Come on, someone stand up and give the Lord a shout of praise. He is worthy this morning. He is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of the victory. He is worthy of the glory. He is worthy of the sound. He is worthy of the jubilation this morning. He's a worthy God. He's a worthy God in the house this morning. Shout to the Lord with a voice of triumph. Oh, hallelujah. Are you hearing me, church? Amen. You can be seated. See, David understood the secret to the presence of God. The Lord is releasing keys on how to draw the presence. He knows how to, he says, this is, you know, God, we didn't write the rule book. You know, if you want to, if you play football, follow the rule book. Amen. And you'll score. God wrote the rule book on how to get his presence. Amen. Just follow the rule book. Well, I don't feel, that doesn't, well then if you don't feel like it, well then you're not going to get the presence. Don't blame somebody. Don't blame your boss. Don't blame your mom. Don't blame your sister. Don't blame your friend. Don't blame this person that talks about you. Because even when someone talks about you, even in the valley of the shadow of death, you prepare a table for me, God. Don't blame anybody. But I got good news for you. You can draw the presence of God because you're a spirit. And as a spiritual being, there's keys that God's revealing to us. Come before him with thanksgiving. Make a joyful noise. That's what he says. And then David says, in the next one, Psalm 102, he says, come before his presence with singing. Not just thanksgiving. Singing. I can come before the Lord with it. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you for this. Lord, I can come before the Lord and say, hallelujah, Jesus. I'm not just thanking him. Now I'm singing to him. Amen. And God is giving us key. You can thank him. You can shout in my presence. And you can sing to me. All these things draw the presence of God to our lives. David had these revelations. And as a result of these revelations, he became, watch this, accustomed to the presence of the Lord. Yeah. He found the secrets. Yeah. You know, when something works, it works. You know, they say that if you take a millionaire, you know, who's worked hard to make his first million, they say this, if you take my million away, it's only a matter of time before I make my next million. Because they know the principles that work to make the million. They figured out the cycle. They figured out the keys to make the millions of dollars. While most of us are running around in circles trying to catch our tail, trying to get by, the millionaire goes, that's for you, but I got the keys. Are you hearing me? And there's so many believers that are just busy for God. And then there are others that say, you know what, that's not for me. I got the key to enjoy and rest. Are you hearing me? There's keys to living the point beat next page. There are keys to living the abundant life that's every mother, every father, businessman, businesswoman, marketplace person, full-time minister, intercessory prayer missionary, cash register at McDonald's. Hey, someone identify with that. I pray the Lord uses you there. Whatever you do, I'm serious. Garbage man, secretary, whatever it may be. Who says that your vocation hinders the presence of the Lord? Probably one of the best books you could ever read on the presence of God is by Brother Lawrence, Practicing the Presence of God. And he teaches in his book that He learned as a monk how to draw God's presence by sweeping the floors and washing the dishes of the monastery that he worked at.
Wow.
He learned, you know what? I don't need music when it's not available. I don't need solitude when I can't get it. But you know what? Even in the mundane day of life, I can experience the presence of God. Why? Because he learned the secrets to draw the presence. And let me tell you something. Every one of us can be successful in knowing how to tap into what draws God's presence. When we have the presence of God in our lives, it distinguishes us from other people. Look at your notes there. God says to Moses, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And then Moses says, oh, Lord, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. That's what distinguished Israel above every other nation in the land, was the presence of the Lord. Moses says, if you're not going to, listen, I know they just created this golden calf. I know you're upset with them, but if you don't go with us, don't send us from this mountain. Because Moses goes on to say, how are we going to be distinguished from all the nations of the earth unless you are with us? God's presence is what distinguishes us from other peoples. And even within the church, those who know the presence of God are distinguished from those who are just churchgoers. It's found in Exodus 33, verse 14 and 15. David was not a perfect man that, you know, he mastered the presence of God. And because he mastered God's presence, you know, he never made mistakes. On the contrary, David was sinned and sometimes very grievously. But David knew, I know how to restore myself. I know how to draw back. I know how to, simple key to restoring the presence of God, repent quickly.
Amen.
Repent quickly and humble yourself. Two main keys. And that's what drew back the presence of God after the sin with Bathsheba. Was that David was quick to repent. You see, when Saul sinned, his interest was just, Samuel, just make me look good in front of the people. But when David sinned, David said yes. And when Samuel the prophet came to Saul and said, you've sinned, okay, just make me look good in front of the people. But when Nathan the prophet came to David, David said, I've sinned. I am that man. And he was humbled himself in the presence of the Lord. He repented quickly. He owned up to his weakness. And God took great pleasure in that. And God restored him when he should have been dead. He should have been stoned as a king for committing adultery. But because he repented quickly, he humbled himself and he owned up to it. God says, I bestow mercy upon you. These are keys that draw the presence of the Lord into our lives. Because even though David was not perfect, yet David knew how to tap into the presence of the Lord. It's the presence of God on an individual lives that marks that person and distinguishes that person. And we see that at a very tender age. I mean, some theologians say David was as young as 12 or 13. I've read 15 or 16, but let's say he's 14 years old. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, look at your notes there. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the midst of his brothers. Church, there are people that God wants to distinguish even within the church with his presence. In the midst of the brethren. Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And watch this. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. That was not the testimony that Saul had. But when the Spirit came upon, there was something that God knew about David. He goes, my Spirit's going to remain on that young boy until his death. From that day forward. Oh, church, I want the Holy Ghost. Take my ministry. Take the house of prayer. Take my preaching gift. Take it all. Take my home. Take my belongings. I'm going to complain. I'm going to gripe. I'm going to get offended, but don't take your presence from me. Because if your presence remains upon me, it all makes sense in the end. And I'll repent, and I'll come with my tail between my legs and say, you're right, God, restore me. As long as his presence is upon my life, I'll be fulfilled and satisfied. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Don't take your presence from me. When the Spirit of God, watch this. When the Spirit of God comes upon an individual, that's because that person has favor. Favor. Now watch this. Look at the next verse in your notes. Ephesians 1:6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted.
Amen.
In the beloved. The moment you said yes to Jesus, you were accepted because the Spirit of God came to live inside of you. You have a right to the presence of God because you're already accepted. That word accepted means to be highly favored, to be endued with the Holy Spirit of holiness, the Spirit of honor. That's what it means, to be endued with the Spirit of honor. That word accepted means to be endued with the Spirit of honor, to be graced and to be highly favored. You don't realize it. Sometimes I don't realize it. We are endued with honor and highly favored in his sight. And when we understand that, our lives will begin to reflect that. David's confidence in the presence of God gave him the boldness and strength to stand, to approach Goliath and say, listen, Goliath, I have faced a lion and I have faced a bear, and God gave me victory. And just like God gave me victory against the lion and the bear, he's gonna hand you into my hand today, and I'm gonna cut your head off today, and I'm gonna feed it to the birds. How could David have that confidence in the midst of his enemies? The presence of the Lord. You see, there's a boldness and a confidence that comes upon the individual when they know they have the favor of God upon their lives. You can face whatever enemy you go through. You can face the enemy of lack. You can face the enemy of insecurity. You can face the enemy of doubt and unbelief. You can face the enemy of your family coming against you. But you know what? When you're convinced that the Holy Ghost is on your life and that he has anointed you, you can face all of that because he supernaturally encounters you with strength, with favor and grace and joy in the midst of the hardship. Can I hear an amen? You can face whatever enemy you face because you have the confidence. He's going with me. I'm not going alone. When David saw Goliath, you have to understand, when David saw Goliath, he had already been anointed. And the anointing from Samuel says, you're anointed as king. My presence will be with you from now on. I mean, if I'm a 16-year-old punk and I get a word like that, and I see a Goliath, and I just got anointed a few days ago, I'm not going to be afraid of no Goliath when I just got anointed by the Holy Ghost. And the guy, he says, I'm going to be king. I'm the next king. That means that, listen, if I'm the next king, that Philistine can't kill me. Are you hearing me? That's the confidence you have against your enemies, because you know God is with you. Oh, hallelujah. I don't care what you're facing today. You got to understand the Holy Ghost is upon your life today. The presence of the Lord makes a difference. If you got no presence, then you're in trouble. Point number two of your notes. David seeks after the presence of the Lord. David seeks the presence of God. Once David became king over Israel, the number one main agenda, the main mind, the main thought of his life was, I got to get the Ark of the Covenant back. I got to bring back the presence of the Lord to the nation. Think about that. Before he even thought about building himself a palace and increasing his wealth, increasing and multiplying wives, before he did any of that stuff, before increasing his armies, his number one mind, his thought was the presence. Got to bring the presence of the Lord. And the Bible is very, very clear. If you look at your notes, David assemble. 1 Chronicles 13, verse 2 through 4. David said to all the assembly of Israel, if it seems good to you, all the assembly. Remember, he's thinking about the nation. If it seems good to you, and if it's of the Lord our God, let us send out to our brethren everywhere who are left in all the land of Israel. And with them, let's go to the priests and the Levites who are in their cities and in their common lands, that they may help us gather together to us. And let us bring the ark of God, our God, back to us, for we have not inquired at it since the days of Saul. And all the assembly said that they would do so, for this thing was right in the eyes of all the people. The unfortunate thing is desire is always never enough. You may have the right desire, the right motive, but if you don't have the right principles in place, you're not going to succeed. See, God had given a prescription on how to draw the presence of God. And the prescription was this. The only way the presence of the Lord can be brought to you is if the priest would carry the presence of the Lord. And what they tried to do in their creativity and the best way that they could to honor God, what they did was they built a beautiful oxen cart where they can set the Ark of the Covenant on this cart so that the oxen can bring it towards Jerusalem. But that was not the prescribed revelation of the Lord. God does not believe in shortcuts. You cannot cut short the glory and the honor of the Lord. And what we find happening was, even though they were singing, you can look it in your notes in 1 Chronicles 13, 7 through 8 and verse 10. Even though they were singing, they were playing instruments, the Levites were there, but yet it wasn't being carried by the Levites. It was carried on an oxen cart. And the result was this. God struck Uzzah, struck him dead. And when David saw how God broke out, he became offended. One of the first negative responses is offense. Offense. Watch this. David went after the presence, bringing the presence to him. And then all of a sudden, the ox cart stumbles, the ark shifts like he was going to fall off the cart. And then Uzzah, in his own natural strength, trying to help the presence, holds back the ark, and God strikes him dead. David sees that he's offended. He was so offended, he had three things in his life. Number one, he was angry. He became full of rage and anger. Look at your notes. Point C, wrong responses. Point C, the first negative response that David displays is anger. Point number one. Turn the page over. Anger. I want to point out three key things besides offense that's going to hinder the presence of God in your life. Number one is anger. That word anger means to burn with anger, to be ablazed, to be very displeased and grieved. David was burning with anger. David was blazing with hot against the Lord. He was very displeased. And let me tell you something. When you find yourself in those kind of emotions, it's impossible to draw God's presence to your life. You got to get delivered of that. But look at your notes there. 2 Samuel 6, 8. David became angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah. And he called the name of that place Perez Uzzah to this day. He was angry. Anger opened the door to sin in Cain's life. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 5 through 7, God says, Cain, why is your countenance fallen? Why are you so angry? Don't you realize you've opened the door to sin in your heart? That's what it says. Anger opens a door to other sins.
That's right. That's
true. Amen. Did you know that because of anger, Jonah wanted to die? He was angry with the Lord. And he says, oh, I wish I could just die. It's so hot outside. I mean, everything was bothering him. It didn't turn out the way he thought it was going to turn out. And so he became angry with God. And then it was hot outside. And he goes, oh, I just wish I was dead. Let me tell you something. You become full of despair and hopelessness. Because anger will open the doors up to other things. And you wish you were just dead. You give up on life. You lose hope. You become full of despair. Anger will never draw the presence of God. It will repel God's presence from your life. Number two, the second display that David shows is fear. Fear. Watch this. Let me read that to you. The Bible says this. David and all Israel played music before the Lord with all their might. They were singing on the harps, string instruments, with tambourines and cymbals, with trumpets. But then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah because he put his hand upon the ark before the Lord. And then the Bible says, and David became angry because of the Lord's outbreak. But then it says this in verse 9. David was afraid of the Lord that day. And he said this, how can the ark ever come to me? Fear will keep you from the presence of God. Fear will cripple you from pursuing the presence of God. David, because of his anger, full of despondency, despair, other emotions settled in. Then all of a sudden fear says, you see, you can't get the presence of God in your life. You can't afford it. He's too much of an awesome God. He's too holy of God. You're not good enough. You're not right enough. You don't know how to do it. You're right. I can't bring this awesome God in my presence. And so David, he started off right. He desired God, but all of a sudden he got crippled, full of anger. And then his life was filled with fear, and he would not go after the presence of God. And when he would not go after the presence of God, look what it says. He was afraid. The third negative response is inactivity. Yeah. David's wrong perception of God's judgment caused him to respond in anger and fear, preventing him from going after God's presence and moving. That word moving. Moving. Drawing near the ark to himself. The Bible says David would not move the ark of the Lord to himself. He was full of anger. He was full of fear. And because of anger and fear, complacency set in.
That's right.
Inactivity. And David says, I'm not going to move the ark. But you know what? God always has a way. How many of you know that God knows how? God knows how to all of a sudden stir that desire all over again.
Amen.
He knows. He allows time. 3 months go by. David thinks it's, I tried. I failed. You know, the fear of failure is one of the biggest reasons why we never succeed in life. And if David would have believed and settled for the fear of failure, he would have never got. But God knows how to strike that chord in David's heart. And you know what happened? All of a sudden, someone says, hey, David, have you heard? What are you talking about? You haven't heard about Obed-Edom? His house is blessed. He's prospering. Everything about him is in. David goes, you're kidding. Really? Oh, that should be me. When David was stirred to jealousy. God stirred. He heard a rumor. The Lord whispered. It was the Lord who started the rumor. Hey. The Lord spoke to some servant of David. Hey, go tell. Hey, have you heard about Obed-Edom? Yeah, David didn't want the presence, but Obed went after the presence, and he's blessed. And then that servant told somebody else. And all of a sudden, the palace, like, wow. And then it finally came to David's ear. Look at it in your notes there. Let's skip. Hallelujah. Let's skip point number three. But you'll see all of a sudden that David hears. Look at the middle of one of your pages there. After point C, when David gets revelation, it says there, now it was told David, saying, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark. When David heard that, he went into searching mode.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
He goes, I got to figure this out, God. Lord, you know my heart, Lord. You're blessing him. I want to be blessed, God. Lord, how? And he began to search. You know what he found out? He got revelation. You see, he had desire. But desire without revelation brings failure. David had the desire. But when he got revelation on how to draw the presence of God, he realized we made a mistake. We need knowledge. And the Bible says, the Word of God is very, very clear that one day the knowledge of the Lord is going to fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. And David got revelation about the knowledge of God. You cannot encounter God without having the knowledge of God. And I could hit on that point. You can look in your notes later on. It's one of the points in today's sermon. But because of time, I want to get to the next point. But the knowledge of God is critical. Malachi says, the priest's lips is to keep knowledge. Teach knowledge, the right knowledge. Not self-knowledge, but the knowledge of God. When we get the knowledge of God, guess what? We get insight, revelation, how to draw his presence. Well, David figured it out. He realized, you know why? The reason why we couldn't get the presence of God was because we did it the wrong way. Right. He gets revelation, and the revelation's found there in your notes. 1 Chronicles 15:12-14. He says to the Levites, you are the heads of the fathers, the houses of the Levites. You're to sanctify yourself. Sanctification. You're to sanctify yourselves and your brethren that you, not the cart of oxen, but that you may bring up the ark of the Lord God to the place of Israel, to the place that I've prepared for it. Now watch this. Because you did not do it the first time, the Lord our God broke out against us. Because we did not consult him about the proper order.
Yes. Yes, Lord.
We went after the presence of God. We had desire, but we didn't have knowledge. But now we got the knowledge. We have proper order. Now watch this. So the priest and the Levites sanctified themselves, and they brought up the ark to the God of Israel. Exodus 25:14, Deuteronomy 10:8. 1 Chronicles 15:15 all reveal that the priests are called to draw the presence. Can I have the worship team to come forward, please? We're not. Wait. Give me 5 more minutes, because now the good stuff. How did David bring the presence to himself? He got knowledge. He sanctified himself, but he did 3 major things to counter the 3 negative things. Here they are. Number one. Look at your notes. So David went up and brought the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom. It's there in your notes. And 2 Samuel 6:12-15. David went up, brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with gladness.
Yes,
the first key is joy. Gladness of heart. Gladness of heart. It's joy of the Lord. We're looking at 2 Samuel 6:12, not 14. 2 Samuel 6:12. It says, he brought up the ark of the house of God with gladness.
Yes.
Are you hearing me? It was the gladness of God that brought the presence of the Lord to David. Number two, not only gladness, but also he did so with dance.
Yeah.
I know that some of you don't like to dance in the presence of the Lord, but there's powerful. There's something powerful that happens when you just let loose. When you dance, you're killing flesh. Because you're looking like a fool. Because most of you can't dance. And because most of us can't dance, and we try to do that Holy Ghost shuffle that is so outdated, but to God, it's beautiful. And when you do this and you can't do anything else, God says, that's my boy. Release my presence upon him right now. It makes us look like fools. We're humbling ourselves. Now, I thank God for the Sarah Carabios that can dance beautifully in the presence of the Lord. And the Alexia Gilmans who can just, and there's some of you that, you know, and April that can dance just beautiful. I mean, there's an anointing for them to dance. But let me tell you something. Even us fools that can't dance, when we dance in faith in the eyes of the God, he goes nuts. The Bible says he rejoices with singing and dancing over us. When we sing, he sings. When we dance, he dances. And when that happens, deliverance breaks out in the house of the Lord. David learned the secret. I'm gonna rejoice. I'm gonna sing, and I'm gonna dance. And he took off his robe. He took off his kingly robes. He put on a humble linen ephod of a servant priest. And he danced and he whirled before the Lord with gladness, with joy, and with a dance. That's how he drew the presence to his city. With gladness, with joy, with a dance, and one more. Hallelujah. Last page. David and all of Israel celebrated with loud shouting. He shouted. He shouted. He shouted, I said. I remember. I will close with this. I remember first call to ministry. It was 1982, 83, just after I had been at the Keith Green Memorial Concert. God said, I call you to ministry. I finally surrender. And so I step out in faith and I begin to do Bible studies. I started a Bible study at my mother's house. I was in the Navy. I would actually fly home on a MAC flight, a military air command flight. Every weekend, I would land in Toms River, New Jersey, and I would take this flight from Norfolk off the Navy base, catch this military flight, land in Toms River area. My mom would drive about an hour and a half to pick me up. I did that every weekend whenever I could get away. And here's what I did. I started a Bible study. Two people showed up to my first Bible study. Following week, 5 people showed up. Following week, 10 people showed up. After a few months, I had 60 people showing up to my Bible study every week. Then I realized I'm getting ready to go overseas. I'm getting ready to go overseas. What am I going to do with all these people? So I found a church in Nutley, New Jersey. I started bringing all these people with me on Sunday morning. And they would see, because they used to sign in at the church back then. They see all these people from Bergenfield, New Jersey, Paramus, New Jersey. Where are all these people coming from? They realized they were all coming from the same area. And because of that, they started a church. They started a church in my hometown in Paramus because of this Bible study. But did you know, before the first two people came to my Bible study, I had a battle with God. I'm praying 3 hours before the Bible study, and I'm sweating. And I'm fearful. My hands are dripping with sweat. I'm shaking. And I go, Lord, you've called me. This is ridiculous. How can I preach if I'm afraid to do a Bible study and it's 3 hours away still? Why am I so nervous? Do you know what God said to me? Sing! I said, Lord, I don't feel like singing right now. Because I was so fearful. God says, sing! Hallelujah! I sing to you. I still don't feel any different, God. And then I go back into complain mode. Oh, God. Lord, I'm so fearful. Lord, you got to deliver me of this fear. And then God says, shout. I go, Lord, I don't feel like shouting. I said, okay, God. Hallelujah. I'm shouting, God. But I don't feel any different. Then God says, I go back to complaining mode, fearful mode. He goes, clap. I go, Lord, this is ridiculous. I'm all by myself, Lord. I don't need to. God says, clap. So here I am singing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I don't feel any different, God. And then all of a sudden, I go back to complaining mode. God says this. Dance. That's what he said, George. And you know what? I said, okay, Lord. I'm going to shout, I'm going to sing, and I'm going to clap, and I'm going to dance all at the same time. So here I am, I'm doing this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And God is my witness. Something came in that room. Something came in that room, and I felt, no joke, I felt this mantle of fear lift. This fear of man that was upon me lifted. And I felt this other mantle gently come upon me. And I began to shout. And I began to clap. And I began to dance. And I began to sing. And I cried out, Lord, I'm free! I'm free! I'm free! I'm free, Lord God! Hallelujah! Stand to your feet in the house of the Lord today. Give the Lord a shout of victory in the house today. Oh, he wants to touch the people of God. He wants to anoint you with the presence of the Lord. He wants to anoint you this morning with the presence of God. If you have to go, if you gotta go, you can go. But if you want to stay behind a few more minutes and rejoice, let's rejoice.
For the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever.
Some of you need to get out of your seat and come forward. If there's something that harassing your life, get out of your seat. Dance yourself to freedom. Shout yourself to freedom right now. If you need to leave, you can leave. God bless you. If you want to stay behind, feel free.
Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. For the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. For the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. For the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. Good, and his mercy endures forever.